Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
First, I'd like to thank Brian Flores for all that he's done for the Miami Dolphins. He's a very good man, and I wish him the best. And I'm sure we'll see him again as an NFL coach.
Steven, I'd like to ask you what role, if any, the quarterback position played in this decision. Was there a question over whether Tua is your man for the future? How much does Deshaun Watson play into it? And was there disagreement over which direction you should go at quarterback?
Well, first of all, let me be clear. It played no role in it at all. I have a lot of confidence in Tua. And I think, you know, the next head coach will work with him or whoever else, but I have a lot of confidence in him. I watched him grow. I think he's a fine young man. And, you know, he is right now the quarterback and will be dependent upon the new head coach. But I have a lot of confidence in Tua. Well, I think if you look at our roster, we have a very fine, I think, an excellent roster of young players. This was all, you know, done in the last 3 years. We had an old, aging roster before that was leading us nowhere but to mediocrity. And I think that if you look at our roster today, and you see our salary cap and the players we have, I think we're well suited for the future. I mean, we're going to look for the best man. You know, certainly having the experience always helps. I'm sure, you know, if we believe we find somebody that's exceptional, that's been a coordinator or in some other position in football, I certainly, you know, would look at that, you know, very seriously. But our mind is open. We're just looking for someone that can work together in taking this roster and taking it to its next level.
That was the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross, yesterday, talking to the media about the firing of Brian Flores. To talk more about that, on the line right now is Odyssey NFL Insider and our buddy Michael Lombardi. Insider Calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available on the Odyssey app. Michael, good morning. Thanks for coming on the show. What did you think about the crazy morning we had yesterday and the talk around the country about Brian Flores being let go?
You know, certainly surprised. I think, you know, I thought Brian had done a really good job. I think he orchestrated an offense around a quarterback that, you know, doesn't throw the ball down the field, doesn't have a powerful arm, and, you know, is limited. I mean, they're limited with the offensive line. They're limited with the quarterback. And I think to win 9 games with that roster, it was really pretty impressive, especially coming back from where, you know, they started the season with the losses, and beating Bill Belichick 4 straight times is not some kind of easy task. So I was surprised by the decision Stephen Ross in the front office made. On the other hand, it doesn't, because oftentimes in the NFL, you know, collaboration and making everybody happy becomes more important than actually trying to find a way to win.
Mike, I got to ask you this one, because a lot of our fan base upset that Chris Greer still has a job at general manager. What are your thoughts and the role he probably played in this? Because I do want to get into head coach and general manager relationships. But your thought on the work that Chris Greer's done during this 2-year rebuild that we've done?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. You know, you could just hear from Steven as he was talking that the time and and the pauses in between some of the answers led you to believe that he wasn't fully on board with his answer. So I think the reality of this is, you know, Chris picked the wrong quarterback. You know, he got at first at bat and he picked Tua over Herbert. Now, I don't know the inner workings of the organization, so I don't know if Flores decided that he wanted Tua over Herbert. I don't know that. No one does, you know. But I do think Ross, in his press release, what he indicated in his press release was pretty clear that you know, he was tired of, his organization was tired of dealing with a coach who was very strong in opinion and wanted everybody to work for him and was demanding. And he wanted a more collaborative, softer edge to his organization. And I think that's what he's gotten. And that's the reality of it all. And for Chris, you know, Chris is probably an honest guy. He knows that offensive line that he drafted isn't good enough. And he knows that, you know, the quarterback that he selected, no matter what anybody wants to say in the media, isn't as good as the one he passed up.
Yeah, no question. By the way, not even up for debate. No question.
That's not debatable. I mean, now you've got people out there. I work at VSiN every day, Vegas Stats and Information Network. We have people that host shows on ours that think he's a top 12 quarterback. I mean, they're blind, but they do, you know, and it's not debatable. But, you know, there's a part of the Twitter universe that actually thinks, you know, Tua is really a good player. Because that's what they think, just like they think that Brendan Staley going for it on fourth and one at his own 18 was a brilliant idea. Sometimes you just can't you can't let people see logic because they don't even understand that they're so far out of the race, they actually think they're in the lead.
So you got to help me out on this one because knowing Chris Greer a little bit and talking to him about this topic, so he goes, I'll never pick a player that my head coach doesn't like because we got to work together. I want to make sure he's comfortable with it. But at the same time, doesn't a general manager have to be a general manager when it comes to certain decisions being made at some point? Like, I've listened to everybody, but I feel strongly about this, that this guy can help us win or no.
Yeah, no, I think you got to. I think, look, when I was with Belichick, I would say – that we probably, you know, maybe disagreed when we were together in Cleveland and even when I went back with him in New England, we probably disagreed on about three or four players and that was it. Because philosophically, we were aligned. It started with a philosophy. So, you know, and that was the most important thing to what we did. So, yeah, no, I agree. If you're the general manager and you're in control of the personnel, you know, you've got to be able to convince the coach that what you're seeing, he's got to see it. It can't be that complicated. Like, just put it up on a blackboard. We're going to take a shorter quarterback with a weaker arm who doesn't run as fast over a quarterback who's got a gun, who's 6 feet six, who throws it down the field. Like, let's just talk this through.
Right.
Like, let's talk this through. Like, you know, it's not, we're not talking rocket science here. We're talking about player evaluation.
Yeah, I guess, and then the follow-up, because this is what I think caps, this is one of my theories on what happened. So now Chris Greer's meeting with people over the top of him in the organization. They go, what the hell? And he goes, well, it wasn't my first choice, but that's what Coach Flores wanted, and I felt, you know, I needed to do what he wanted. You think those type of things go on as well?
I think what happened was, I think that the organization, I think it was almost a coup. I think the organization didn't really appreciate Brian's style, his abrasiveness, his brutal honesty, and I think it became an unfriendly place to work, and I think that affected Steven, who wants to have collaboration, who wants everybody feeling involved. And, you know, and as I've said many times, the NFL is not the Dave Clark Five. I mean, it's got to be a paramilitary organization. It's got to start from the top down. And, you know, when you start using words like collaboration and, you know, all those things, and the organization's happy, you're going to start losing. I can promise you, you're going to start losing. The Bears, you know, before the season started, they put out a whole video about how they love their collaborating methods and how they're all that. Yeah, look where they are right now.
Right. Everybody's out
Michael,
of a job.
Could this be as simple as, you know, because we've seen this before from Brian Flores when Josh Rosen was traded here. He had him in and basically came out and said, I've seen enough. I'm going with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Josh Rosen's not our guy. Could this just be the fact that he's seen enough with Tua, wanted Deshaun Watson. That wasn't what Chris Greer selected, and that's where all of this kind of stemmed from. Is it possible that that quarterback situation, and not just with the Herbert stuff, but I'm saying with Deshaun Watson and how it led into the trade deadline last year when guys were salty and not talking to the media, then Greer, could that have been the deciding factor in all this now once the season's done, that could have been where the biggest divide was between those two?
I don't think it was one thing. I think it was all a bunch of things. And I think that Brian is very strong in his beliefs, and Brian's not afraid to tell somebody you're no good, you know? And I think he may have been abrasive with people, and that as a collection becomes a problem. And then I think Steven, who lives in, you know, he's in New York, he's not in the building every day, he's listening to people, and he's like, well, I can't get the coach to do this, the coach is, you know, all of a sudden a bunch of people start talking like that, and then he realizes, well, I got to get rid of the, if I want a collaborative organization, I got to get rid of the coach. But my question to Steven is, where are you going to find a better coach than Brian Flores?
Right.
Where are you going to find a better coach than him?
Great question.
Like, you could say, what do you, I don't really care what the, you know, the assistants, well, he's working us too hard. You know, it's a tough place to work. It's very challenging. Okay, I get all that, right? And maybe it is. Maybe it was a tough place to work. But if you're trying to make the assistants happy over making the head coach happy, something's wrong.
Michael, I wanted to ask you this question. It's obvious, and you can look at the roster, the amount of talent on defense versus the amount of talent on offense. Outside of Jalen Waddle, we start to run out of names offensively. What are your thoughts on how that happens when you look at all the good, young, talented players they have defensively?
Well, I think they're good on offense, Joe. I mean, Parker's, when he's healthy, he's a good player, right? Gesicki's a really good player. He's a nightmare matchup. I mean, they're a problem for New England because they have really good players that catch the ball in yards after the catch. And New England's big linebackers can't tackle in space as well. And so, you know, they need a running back. There's no denying that. But I think the biggest fault on their offense is the offensive line of the quarterback. I mean, nobody – they can't stretch the field. They can't play from behind. One of the reasons they've beaten New England is they've always played from in front of New England because they can, New England's never gotten the lead on them. So I do think they have some – they got to fix the line. The line's
right.
Horrible, right?
Yes.
They got to fix that. Defensively, I think they're close. You know, they've got some really good players. They've got some good young talent. I thought the defensive line played better this season. So, look, to me, they're at 9-8 with a quarterback that doesn't throw the ball down the field, that is not able to make explosive plays, that you have to run this RPO scheme. It limits you. I mean, they've admitted it as much. I mean, you know, they admitted it. Look, if they get behind in the down and distance, it's hard. And so I think, to me, that's the issue. Like most teams that are 9-8, usually it comes down to not having a good enough quarterback.
I saw you had Jim Caldwell as be surprised. You think that could happen? That could be a guy on top of the list?
Here's what I know. The NFL is always about hiring. The next hire is always about what the opposite of what you just had, right? When you've had somebody who was more of a dictator and demanding from people, you're going to come in with somebody softer, nicer, collaborative. And Jim's a wonderful man. He's won in the National Football League. You know, he had Detroit going in the right direction until they fired him. So I could see Jim fitting perfectly to replacing the contrast of Flores. And I heard from somebody in the league yesterday, look, you know, he's going to be a strong candidate in Miami.
Wow.
Michael, do you think the firings are done, the wave's done, or do you think there's still more to go in the next couple of days?
I don't think Joe Judge is – I don't know how Joe Judge could be safe in New York. You know, how do you hire a new general manager and say that Joe Judge has done a good – I mean, how does that new GM walk in there and say, well, you know, I'm really impressed with your coach?
Right.
How do you do that?
Right.
How do you do that? You know, like I like Joe. Joe's a friend, and I'm just being candid here. I mean, Joe hasn't done a good job. I mean, his team's gotten worse, and – you know, he could talk, and his conversations to the media are strange. Here's the reality of the New York Football Giants. During their worst era, Joe, and you can probably remember this, when the miracle of the Meadowlands happened in 1978, the Giants and the Eagles were both – the Eagles were 6-5, the Giants were 5-6. They were building something. That miracle of the Meadowlands, Pisarcik fumbled to Larry Zonka.
That's right.
Caused a disaster, right? During those 5 years, from 78 to 74, their winning percentage was 27%. Today, in the last 5 years, their winning percentage was 28%. Today, in the last 5 years, their win percentage is 27%. This is the worst 5 years of Giant football in the history of the great franchise. So I don't know how they could sit there and say they're on the right track. I mean, when you're lost, even if you're making good time, you're still lost.
Let me ask you this Deshaun Watson thing, because a lot of people think it's still going to pop up here in town. Where's the interest, and where do you stand on Deshaun Watson as we get ready to start a new football year after the playoffs?
I think we're going to get some resolution in February on all these lawsuits. I think we're going to get it. I think they're going to definitely trade him. They've made no attempt to kind of play nice with him, so they're definitely going to trade him. They probably feel like Davis Mills could be their guy, build around him. I don't know if David Culley's safe and down there. You know, I don't know. I mean, now that Flores is out there with Nick Cesario, go after Flores to replace David Culley, I could see that. You know, so I don't know if he's still safe. I mean, Monday became the ones that the organizations have made decisions of before the end of the year. Obviously, this decision on Flores was made sometime before Christmas, or else they wouldn't have executed it this quickly.
Correct.
Like, this decision was made that. Same in Chicago, same in Minnesota, same in Denver. But I think these other places, I think there needs to be an autopsy done of the season before they render a decision.
Yeah.
But I think the Watson thing is certainly going to be in play. Now, I don't know if it's going to be in play with the Dolphins, because I can't see the Dolphins giving up assets to get him when they still believe in the quarterback.
Yeah, well, let we'll let you go. We've gone real long here, but like so we've whiffed on a lot of young offensive linemen to this point. How in the hell do we turn around and let Chris Greer go, hey, let me get another run at this thing? I'm like, how many more runs do we let him have? You were the one that told me something really interesting in the last month. Like, certain positions you just didn't draft well at. And maybe start looking and going, Chris, you need to let somebody else do this, because you can't do it. You're a nice guy, but you can't do it.
Well, I mean, now that they're going to be collaborative, that'll work out. You know, everybody's going to have a voice in the organization. They're going to sing Kumbaya every morning when they come into work, and things will be fine.
Can't wait to see who that offensive line Michael. Guru is at the team at that point. Michael, thank you for your time, as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider Calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle. It's his weekly podcast, available on the Odyssey app.
All right, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Hey, man, if you haven't been out to a South Florida Chevy dealership, they're all over South Florida. Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. And we are so jacked up about our SUV family. No matter what size SUV you're looking for, we got some brand new looks in 2021, now 2022. The Tahoes and Suburbans, man. Not only have a new look, but they have more space. That's right. Our big boys got even bigger for you and your family to get real comfortable. And how about the midsize SUV? The new Traverse, one of my favorites. Even though it is a midsize SUV, it's got the space of a big boy SUV that you're going to like. I mean, it's got a great look. And then our smaller SUVs, plenty of style and substance with a Trailblazer. I tell you what, my daughter loves her Trailblazer. The Blazers, the Equinox, boy, they got something for everybody. And then the Silverado truck family, a lot of people working out of the back of that truck, plus still need room for the family. We got it for you. The perfect truck to fit your lifestyle every day. Corvettes and Camaros. That was a teaser because they look so good. Hey, what are you waiting for? These are the best overall products we've ever had. We want you to get out there, whether it's new or used, take some test drives and fall in love today at your South Florida show.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Chevy dealer. I got to tell you, I feel pretty good today. I know you're going, wait a second, Joe. Oh, my God, after what happened yesterday. No, I feel good. Kirby Smart and Georgia are national champions.
Wait,
and Nick Saban did not get another one.
Okay, all right. I knew that was coming. That's if it was anyone else but Kirby Smart, if it was any other head coach, would you still feel okay today the same way you do about Kirby?
I like Kirby anyway. I always liked Kirby when he was down here.
But the common denominator, Nick Saban did not win another national title.
Yes, that's the biggest thing. Look, I think it's good.
I'm the same way.
And by the way, this is not to take shots at Nick Saban, although there are people out there think that's all I do is take shots at him. No, he's a great coach, obviously. One of the greatest college football coaches, if not the greatest of all time.
But Kirby called him that on the broadcast.
No, of course. Well, listen.
The greatest college football coach of all time.
Kirby owes him a lot, and he is. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people agree, considering the system. You know, there was a time when college football, you could load up, and one school could have 900 of the best players on the team. And the joke used to be at places like Oklahoma and USC that their threes and fours could beat your ones because there was unlimited scholarships. So they just, a handful of schools loaded up and had all the best players. And back then, you're like, all right, you may have to wait a couple years, but you'll get your chance to play. And now he's playing. Now, he has dominated the new system as well with a certain amount of scholarships every year. But he's done a great job. But I just think it's good for football that somebody else wins a championship. And Georgia, listen, that Georgia, they got embarrassed by Alabama. And they were able to come back. And we didn't know what they're going to look like. Is there going to be a hangover against Michigan? No. There wasn't. They kicked Michigan's tail right back to Michigan. And then they get another shot at Alabama. They're in a tight ball game. They're down in the fourth, and you're going, oh, my God, he's going to beat them again. And they score 20 unanswered points at the end of that game to win a national championship. It's a hell of a story. I thought Nick was real classy about it, going, hey, if there's somebody, I wanted to be one of my former coaches. And to be honest, Kirby's been with him as long as any of his assistant coaches. Like, Kirby was with him from the start down here, took the professional job with him. He left. He went back up to Alabama with him. And a couple years later, he got a real good job at Georgia. He took it. And now he's playing even, if not better, than Alabama. So it's a nice story. He's down here recruiting. You know, they were going back and forth with two players at American Heritage Plantation. They ended up getting the split. Earl Little Jr.'s going to one, and Marvin Jones Jr. is going to the other school. Let me see. I believe Marvin Jones is going to Georgia, and Earl Little's going to be a starting corner at Alabama next year. He's that good. So anyway, that was a nice story, and nice, and congratulations to a couple of couple of Georgia players last night, Kenny McIntosh and James Cook, two of the three running backs on that Georgia team, get themselves a national championship. That's it's a hell of a story. Really, really cool story. And so,
were you able to do some draft scouting last night watching that game? There's a bunch of guys going to be drafted for both of those teams.
No, I'm done. I'm really out of the. I'm out of the mock drafts, and I'm going to give him a rest. I'm so burned out. How the hell can I do it when we pay our guys millions of friggin' dollars down here with the Miami Dolphins? They can't figure it out. I mean, I just.
Joe, I'll be honest with you. If you want to pick one or two guys out, it's probably the same. I probably trust you as much as I trust them at this point.
I don't know. Let me ask you a question. It's way too early for this, but you brought it up. Would you have the basketballs to take an offensive lineman with your first pick?
Yes, the kid from Alabama last night. Neil, I would take him right now. Kid looks like a house. I'm no scout, but the kid looks like a house.
Somehow he'd come here and we find out he's got bad footwork or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. I haven't done any background. I'm just going from what I saw on TV.
He gets down here and they go, he's got a weight problem. He can't move. He pukes all the time.
Right.
Right.
Like, I want the defensive tackle from Georgia, too. What was that kid's name? Jordan Davis? He looks like a house also.
That's a big
man. I'll take him and Neil as my two. I'd like to be in the position right now to have two first-round picks so I could take those two guys.
Well, nothing against you, but I don't want taking more defensive linemen. We're good at defensive line right now.
Okay.
I'm gonna pass on you there. Three guys we have that are good.
I just keep building up the defense. You'll beat everyone 3-0.
I couldn't believe Zach said
that. I don't
care. Yeah, no, I just – no.
It's actually not a bad strategy.
No.
Right. I mean, if you win games, what does it matter at this point?
You want to add another defensive lineman? I'm going to give you a chance to say.
Why not?
Why not? Because we need help offensively.
Yeah, I know, but I don't trust these guys drafting offensively. So let me get more. Let's just solidify the defense a little bit more.
Solidify more.
Let's get the most elite defense in the NFL.
Christian Wilkins and Raekwon Davis.
Yeah, why not?
Zach Sealer. No, why not? That's why not. You got three guys there. Okay. Let's try to figure out some offense here.
Let's get these guys to draft more offensive guys that can't play. Let's do that.
Well, they're going to have to make a run at it because they got to upgrade this thing. But you're right. They're going into it on double secret probation.
They have to be.
For me, not for the team. Team loves them.
I think for fans in general. I mean, you could do a poll of people out there and ask them if you trust this regime now.
Can everybody
to draft and be in free agency? And I think it's going to be no.
Can everybody in the Dolphins organization do me a favor and please not tell me Chris Greer is a really good guy? Like, I don't want to hear it. This job's about not who's a good guy and who's a bad guy and who's into power. And it's about winning games, man, and getting somebody that's really good. Everybody's got a job over there. And by the way, while we're at it, maybe Chris Greer needs to go back and evaluate all his area scouts, West Coast, East Coast, South, North. Maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to go back and evaluate that whole group as well. Why we've
made up our
team.
Can I just have a conversation with the Northwest scout? I'd like to have a conversation with that guy. Who's doing the scouting in kind of that Oregon area, the Washington area.
I think that just falls under the West Coast scout.
I'd like to have a conversation with that guy. And just say, can I just see your notes on Justin Herbert? I just want to see your notes.
It is a great mystery, though. Like, I'd really, really like to know a couple things about the hidden secrets of the Miami Dolphins. And here we go.
Right.
What did you guys think when you saw Tua and Justin Herbert? Come on. We want to hear from everybody. Everybody was in those meetings. Come on. What'd you think? Because I had some guys go, man, I was wrong about Justin Herbert. I didn't know he was going to be this good. I go, there were a lot of people felt that way. But guess what? This is what they do for a living. They're supposed to know more than we are. So,
100%.
But I would like to know that too, Zach. I would like to know. I would love to know. They don't have to, like, buy me dinner or just – I would love for somebody, Jason Jenkins or anybody else that feels comfortable to call me and just go, hey, all right, listen, I'm going to say this, but you can never use it. I go, okay, I can live with that.
Right.
Here's how we felt, and here's who felt this way. Because you know what happens? We have a problem here with the Miami Dolphins through the years. Whoever gets fired gets trashed, gets bad-mouthed leaving town. We have a terrible habit of that, of like dogpiling on whatever they did wrong. We're fantastic at it. And then the ones that stay, well, they're the good ones. That's why we kept them.
Okay. Well, they're good guys, that's why.
And they're good guys.
Yeah, they're all good guys.
Well, I got to tell you, man, yesterday was I got a heavy dose of how does Chris Greer still have a job? And I said, you'll have to ask somebody that makes above him of what they saw. Was it but the way he talked to him before the game? Was it, you know, letting him in on everything, his communications? I don't know, man. All I know is it was a bad day for the Miami Dolphins yesterday. 3 years and out again. They never feel good. I'm like everybody else, man. I like stability. I'd love to be the Steelers. I'd love to be some of the teams like that they run the same system every year and they just put guys in different slots that look alike, get rid of a 9 or 10 year guy and bring in a new guy that plays and looks like the old guy and they just keep it going. And someday I would like to get to that type of stability instead. Yesterday was a really crappy day when the owner gets up there, who, by the way, just I prefer he not get up in front of anybody and talk to start with.
That's why he hasn't talked for 2 years, Joe.
And the whole thing, and it just I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Who's going to get the job? I have no idea. But we got a long way to go. I still don't think we have very much talent on offense, and we whiffed on a lot of draft picks as of right now, unless somehow they get coached up and they're going to improve 250% next year. So who knows?
We better.
We got to go to break here, though. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning, so stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. six, seven, eight, nine.
Yeah, man, yesterday was a friggin' stinger, man. It was a stinger, a bad day for the organization. There's no way to put a positive spin on what took place yesterday. Going forward, I hope we stick with the same style of defense. I think we'd all agree that it's fun, it's aggressive, and an offensive-minded game where the rules are all set up for the offense to have success. It's nice to have a defense that attacks, and hopefully we use our defense the same way and don't change our style and still stick with that. Then the other major issue for me, we haven't done a very good job in free agency either, by the way, by one of the worst we've ever had in Will Fuller. We just finished up that year with him, paid him $10.3 million to get his retirement fund set up down here in South Florida. But so we got 70-something million dollars, and, of course, it can be a lot more, I'm guessing, by releasing guys and some different things they can do. But we still go back to the same thing, though, and that is somebody has got to make draft picks. And priority draft picks, which I'm guessing will be mostly on the offensive side of the ball due to the difference in talent on one side to the other. And are we going back to an offensive-minded head coach? I don't know. I have no idea. Don't have a lot of trust or faith in this process because we've done it. Well, we do it every 3 years. We do it every 3 years.
We're used to it.
Switch it up, and, you know, there's a difference. And the guy was hard-headed. He wouldn't listen. Okay. But I don't know what to tell. A Dolphin fan, I have no idea what to tell people that have called, from sponsors to other things. So, you know, what are we doing? And the one thing I always get is this, and it's not because of me. These are smart people. Why does Chris Greer still have a job as a general manager? So, I don't know. He plays the game better than everybody else. That's how. He's
certainly seems like it. Yeah.
He's a survivor. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. I'm guessing he's easy to work with for people that are in the organization. But I don't know.
I just feel like yesterday I was expecting if something was going to happen, it was going to be Greer, not Flores. Or at least a combination of the both and just clean house. Not just Flores by himself.
I think I said recently, I think Chris Greer wasn't going anywhere.
You did.
I felt like he was in real solid ground with the people he needed to be with. And
I also didn't think they were going to make a move at all and just keep Flores and keep Greer.
I did too.
One more year and go.
And by the way, I second that. I thought both the GM and head coach would be fine. Listen, while I'm at it, hey Chris, man, I don't know if the team will do it, probably not, but I think every guy working under you needs to be evaluated on your scouting in all different parts of the country. I agree. Dave Hyde wrote that a couple of months ago, and I am 100% of, like, let's see the grades that are coming in with the guys that we've taken, because I don't want to take guys in the first round that have big upside, that are young guys. Because we took two guys. There were two. They might have been 1-2 as the youngest players coming out of the draft 2 years ago in Austin Jackson and Noah Igbinoghene. I believe they were two of the youngest guys at the time.
With major upside and potential, right? That's why you draft them.
We need guys that can come in and line up and play. That's what we need. We don't need major upside. Like, oh, they're really good, but they're going to be a lot better because he played receiver. So Igbinoghene was a receiver, and they moved him to defensive back and something. And we were in love with Auburn's defense, and they've had some good defenses, and so that thing. So I don't know, man. They're on their own over there. See how they get us to the next level. I do agree defensively. We do have lots and lots of talent just about everywhere. Just about at every position we're in really, really good shape, except are they going to keep both cover corners who are the two highest paid guys on the team? And I have no idea. I guess a lot of that has to do with what style of play you're going to have. If you're going to play aggressive defense and leave those guys to cover all over the field without help, then I'm guessing you keep both guys on the outside because they're clearly the two best cover guys you have.
The coordinators and the coaches aren't safe at this point, right? New coach comes in here, wants to bring his own staff.
Oh, yeah, and clean house.
You know? Yeah, I mean, they're going to get rid of everybody if the new coach wants to.
They're all under contract. I don't think they'll let most of them go until the new coach comes in because there may be a couple relationships that and guys that he likes or likes the job that they did last year. But that, again, I couldn't even start to tell you. I looked at it last night, and I have no idea. I know offensive coaches have not done very well with Coach Flores since he's been here, especially O-line coaches and coordinators. Offensive coordinators have not done real well. I'm sure Coach Flores, by the way, was very demanding. You know why? Because that's what he came from. He came from a guy that was demanding. And he had a way he wanted to do it. And I'm guessing it, as everybody has said, and I agree, a lot of people didn't like his style. And so here he is. And I'm curious to see if Coach Flores gets a head coaching job. We heard earlier from Michael Lombardi saying the Texans, that looks like a natural fit for the Houston Texans if they want to make a change at head coach after 1 year. So
wouldn't that be something, by the way? Didn't Watson come out or when the rumors were coming out that he wouldn't mind playing for Coach Flores? Wasn't that part of the rumor situation coming out?
I have no idea. Like there was a lot of stuff.
Wouldn't that be something though
if
he went to Houston and somehow mended fences with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. Looks to me like my man still needs a fresh start after all the legal stuff. And it's not like, you know what, I think I'll stay here. I didn't know you were getting Coach Flo. We'll do that.
Bring Will Fuller back too to have a full reunion.
They should. We should force them, the Texans, to give him $10 million and let him play.
Yeah.
For the 14 snaps that he took last year for the Dolphins. That's
a hell of a paycheck for 14 snaps, Joe.
By the way, that is one of the craziest veteran free agent pickups. God, we have just not Mario Williams, now Will Fuller. How in
the hell?
Which
was worse? At least Mario played more games, right?
He tried to. I mean, he had a lot of inactive games where he just wasn't very good. But Will Fuller just stuck it to us, man.
Yeah.
It's just weird. The speed guy in his hand. And I finally go, okay, listen, this hand thing's been going on. We've had guys blow out their ACL that were backing faster than a guy with this. A speed guy can't play with something wrong with his hand. Mm. So, anyway, listen, it's all this stuff just absolutely sucks that's going on. I don't have any answers. I don't know how bad things were with Chris Greer and Brian Flores, but it sounded like it wasn't real good towards the end of the year. But I do know this. It's hard to explain to the average fan that Brian Flores won 8 of 9 games, ended up with a better than .500 record, beat the Patriots twice, and got fired. That's a hard one to sell. Like, look, at I know, like, oh, he was a pain in the ass to deal with for you guys. Oh, yeah, but he won 8 of 9 games, and they didn't quit. They played their ass off for him in a game that those guys could have checked out in at the end of the year. It's a hard one to sell.
Yes, it is. It is a very hard one to sell.
Now, he did lose 7 straight. I
get it, but he had 2 winning seasons back to back. When was the last coach to do that?
02, 03?
Right, Joe. We're talking about.
Well, first of all, we don't win a whole hell of a lot around here. We stay mediocre.
Right. But 2 winning seasons back to back and then fired. We haven't had that done in 20 years.
I just thought, I'm shocked to find out Brian Flores and Chris Greer did not have, I mean, they made it pretty clear without just coming straight out and saying it, that relationship was not good.
Oh, it was bad, of course.
Because Chris Greer really goes out of his way to get along with everybody. He does. He does a pretty good job. Like, first thing you hear about Chris Greer, if you go anywhere over there around Hard Rock Stadium, is same guy. He's a good guy. He's a real good guy. He's such a good guy. Heard it 17 times yesterday. Yeah, I know, but he's such a good guy. He's such a good guy. I'm like, when the hell did the NFL get to be about being such a good guy? It's about winning. It's bottom line. Win. But it's not bothering me today at all. It's not bothering me at all. I'm good with
it. None of us, right. None of us.
It's, anyway, folks, 305-567-0560. We still don't know about Tua Tagovailoa. I have no idea. I know that's the other one that's popped up a lot. I have no idea. I have trouble believing that anybody in the organization is crazy about Tua Tagovailoa's play. I'm sorry. He got a lot better. He did get a lot better, and I told you during camp, he's getting a lot better out there. He's throwing it better. Doing a nice job with him. His offensive line is not very good, but he's doing a pretty good job.
Sure, sounded like the owner liked him.
But
yep.
I think, honestly, with everybody sitting around, and including Chris Greer, like, they don't know what – not only do they not know about Tua Tagovailoa, there's got to be some concern between – over these last three or four games when he had a chance to really shine, including the cold weather game that – ball was slipping out of his hand, and listen, he made a lot of bad throws. There could have been a lot more interceptions over the last few weeks. And again, this is not bashing anybody. This is just what it is. I don't know about Tua Tagovailoa. Somebody asked me, you think he'll start? I said, yeah, he could start next year. You think they'll try to upgrade it? Yeah, that could happen. But I don't know. I don't know what Kool-Aid they're drinking over there. I'd love to know how much sugar they're putting in that Kool-Aid going to the top there to Stephen Ross. Because he's probably wanting to know all these are questions he's got to be asking.
Well, I mean, you have to ask those questions, but I don't think there's an answer to any of that. I don't think there's going to be an answer to any of that until we actually get to training camp. Before that, anything can happen with that quarterback.
How good in the right system can Tua, and by the way, last year was not the right system. I mean, the guys around him, in my opinion, were not good enough on the offensive line. That was not good enough play to, and he can get better with a better offensive line. I agree with that for people that like Tua. But what is his ceiling in a perfect world? I don't know. It didn't look very good the last four games. It just didn't.
Yeah, we've definitely seen this movie before, man. This is the exact same thing they did with Ryan Tannehill. Literally the exact same thing. Like, you're going to bring in a new coach. They're going to find some young coach, who they're going to say is some quarterback guru, and they're going to bring him in. They're going to say he's going to fix Tua. Tua's going to be whatever he is 2 years later. He's going to be the same guy,
yeah.
And we're going to be doing the same deal again. Like, this sounds like the thing with Ryan Tannehill. And unless you put better pieces around these guys, they're still going to continue to be what they are. Except,
you're right.
I don't think Tua's ceiling is anywhere near Ryan Tannehill's.
Well,
to be quite honest, I think Ryan Tannehill had a better arm.
Much better.
He's obviously tougher. I mean, the guy can take hits.
Much
Tua's
more
not
athletic.
Terrible.
Much more.
So I think Tannehill at least had those things going for him. Tua doesn't have any of those things, but this feels like the identical situation here. They're going to bring in some guy that they're going to sell you on as an offensive-minded coach that
they're
fixes
not
quarterbacks.
I don't think there's any selling.
There's going to have to be a lot of selling, Joe.
I think our
what
fan
are you selling
base,
to this fan base right now?
I think our fan base is very
is what numb,
beaten up. After,
okay, but you have to sell them on something because there is still a portion of the fan base that goes out to these games and spends money and buys tickets. Okay, so you have to sell them on something, and what they're going to probably end up doing is find some offensive coach who they say is going to fix Tua.
So are they going to try to sell us it was all coaching, offensive coaching?
I think that they are going to bring in a coach that is going to be known as some kind of quarterback whisperer, some nonsense like that.
We've had a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, I understand that. That's why I said we've seen this movie before. And they're going to come in, they're going to work with Tua and this and that, and Tua's not going to get any better because he can't. And that's going to be the situation. And then 2 years from now, we'll be sitting here in the same spot doing the same thing again.
Well, I won't be, but you guys will be.
Well, yeah,
for
you
sure.
Probably won't be here, but
hey, I'm not going to be around another 3 years when they make another switch, maybe two. All right, hey, 9 o'clock hour's coming up. We got a lot more stuff to get to. I want to talk about Jonathan Rodriguez. Don't worry, he's not going to be the new head coach for the Miami Dolphins, but he is a name that a lot of people know who he is and know the work that he does when it comes to impact windows and doors. I'm talking about the owner of ASP, That's right. You know them as the best roofing contractors in South Florida. Well, let me tell you what they've been doing for a long, long time. Impact Windows and Doors. Man, they're so good. Matter of fact, I went down there a couple weeks ago and spent some time at the showroom down in Doral, right off the turnpike down there. I got to tell you, they put together something I would recommend to everybody out there. A lot of people are fixing up their homes, trying to make them safer with Impact Windows and Doors. You know all the benefits, and I don't need to tell you, insurance and property value benefits and all those type of things. But you're going to love the way Jonathan Rodriguez and his family at ASP do things. There's a right way to do things. There's a right way to treat people. And there's something about growing up down here and being from here that they've really got this thing figured out for you. All the different styles of Impact Windows and Door combinations, complete custom designs, free, will take care of all the hassles for you with permits and installation. And again, their goal is just what it's for their own family, and that is to protect your family. Hey, we know what hurricane season's like. ASP is flat-out quality every day. You're going to love it. Every bit of work they do is quality. You're going to love it. I tell everybody, look up ASP. See what people are saying about them. You're going to fall in love with the work they do. Mention my name, matter of fact. Joe Rose, you get a $5,000 discount. No payments until 2024. So let the ASP family protect yours. 305-340-2081. 305-340-2081. Work, quality, service. Nobody does it better than ASP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.